Turn with me in your Bible today to John chapter 14, and I want to bring the message today and call it Meet the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14. The Lord is telling the disciples that He is going to go to heaven. And He is going to prepare a place for them. And of course, how did Jesus prepare a place for us in heaven? Well, what did He do? He took His blood, a token of His blood that He shed on the cross, that was the payment for all our sin. And He took a token of that blood to heaven as the payment of all our sin. That's how He prepared a place in heaven for us. By presenting His blood to the Father, the Holy Father, whose wrath had to be satisfied, whose justice had to be met, where sin had to be paid for, and Jesus went to heaven there as a token, with a token of His blood, presenting it to the Father and the altar of heaven as a payment of our sin. And now He is the living Savior. He is the living High Priest. He is the living Son of God. He is the mediator between men and God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so now, because He has paid the penalty of our sin, now because He is in heaven alive, because He is the and one only mediator between man and God, and no other access to God other through Him, that we through Him can be saved from our sin. And Jesus said, I am the way. Sometimes we read that verse wrong. We really need to read it like this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because it was Jesus, the Son of God, who paid the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And here in John chapter 14, Jesus is telling the disciples that He is going to go to heaven, and that when He gets to heaven, He is going to send the Holy Spirit. He is going to send the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 of John chapter 14 says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. In John chapter 16, He puts it a little bit differently, but makes it a little bit clearer even of what He says. In John chapter 16, in verse 6, it says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And of course, the disciples, from a human standpoint, were sorrowful as Jesus said He was going to be gone and that He was going to leave them and He was going to be in heaven. But He said, verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it is absolutely necessary for you that I go away. One, to prepare a place for you. Number two, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And Jesus is saying, you know, I'm going to go. And I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to pay the price of your sin on the cross. Salvation is going to be purchased once and for all eternity. He says, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be just like me. He's going to be another. He's going to be a comforter. Just like you're comforted by my presence, the Holy Spirit will comfort you exactly the same way. But the only difference is the Holy Spirit will be the comforter, and He will not be limited by a physical body, but the Holy Spirit will come to live and to comfort every single believer. He says, it's expedient for me, for you that I go away. That I, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. In John chapter 14, verse 17, it says, I will pray the Father, He'll send the Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, you know what? Let's stop there a minute. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God Himself. You know, the Holy Spirit was introduced to man in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. Notice what it says about the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, it says this. In verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, was God the Spirit in the act of creation. The Bible tells us that He is the third person of the Trinity. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Now notice it didn't say names, plural. It didn't say N-A-M-E-S. It said in the name of the Father, the Son, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Very, very specific that the Spirit of God is equal to the Father and is equal to the Son. You say, oh, I'm all about God the Father. You say, I'm all about God the Son. Well, God the Holy Spirit is equal with the Father and the Son. And you know what? So it's important to make a big to-do about the Holy Spirit. He isn't some little influence out there. He's not some little influence out there that sends little spurts here and there. He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. And the fact is, He is of the same essence as the Son. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter number 14. It says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. And you know what? That's why Christians think so much different than the world. Because the Holy Spirit is shut out of the world unless they repent and trust Christ as their Savior. It says, whom the world cannot receive, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him not, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now notice, He says He is going to come to them. Notice he says that he is going to be in them. But notice what he says. He says he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be in them. And the Holy Spirit is going to live in them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit and Jesus the Son are of the same essence. And when the Spirit of God is in a man, the Spirit, Christ is in them through the Holy Spirit. It's the doctrine of the interpenetration of the persons of the Trinity. The Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. And the Spirit is in the Son, and the Son is in the Spirit, because they are of one essence. And so, it is important for us to understand that Jesus talked about the permanent indwelling of God Himself in the believer, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Meet the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the world cannot receive Him. The Bible says the world does not know Him. But the Bible says that the believer will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's paint the picture here, folks. We're talking about something big here. We're talking about something real big. We're talking something that's a lot bigger than a lot of this religion stuff out there. We're talking about God Himself living in a person. Understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about little mystical influence here. I'm not talking about religious feeling. I'm not talking about some oogie googie. I'm talking about God Himself living, abiding in a believer. That's something mighty big. That's something mighty big. The Bible tells us it's the difference between religious people and saved people. It's the difference between people who are trying to get to heaven by their good works and people who know there's none righteous, no, not one. Every man is a failed sinner and could do nothing to merit eternal life. But that sinner who comes to Christ as his only means of salvation because he paid the penalty, that person, God Himself, comes to permanently indwell. Now you've heard a lot of people. You heard a lot about people. And you know what? They say they got religion. But you know what? A few years later, they don't have religion. That's the difference. That's the difference. You see, salvation is when the Holy Spirit comes to live within that person the rest of their life and never to leave. Let me ask you a question. If God came to live in your life, now answer the question. If God Himself came to live in a person's life, I'm not talking about an influence. I'm not talking about some oogie googie. I'm not talking about some big feeling stuff, you know, that they got with the rock music in churches nowadays. I'm talking about God Himself, the Creator of the universe. He came to dwell, live inside a person. Think their life be different? Amen. You see, that's the difference between getting religion and getting Bible salvation. You know, what's it like to have someone around you all the time? You know, there's some people that you would like not to be around you all the time. But you know, there's some people that when you're around them, you know what? It's a mighty powerful influence on your life. And we're not just talking about a human, we're talking about God. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. We looked at some verses that are important. But let's go back. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you. Now give the next two words. Let's start over. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. That's not talking about getting saved and then getting lost. It's not talking about getting a little religion and then reverting back to your old ways. It may be with you forever. Notice what it says in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him. And He's talking to the disciples. For He dwelleth with you. That was the Old Testament sense. The Holy Spirit dwelt with a believer. He was alive in the Old Testament. But He now, because Christ came to die on a cross, ascends into heaven, our salvation is now complete. Notice what the role of the Holy Spirit is. And He shall be what? What does it say? In you. Let's try it again. It says, He shall be with you, but He dwelleth with you now, in other words, and He shall be what? In you. What a wonderful truth. He shall be in you. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And here is a passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian believers to live a morally pure, chaste, godly life, not like the world. And what is his reasoning for that they ought to live a holy life? Verse 19. What? Knowing not that your body is the temple, the tent, the house of what? The Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Why? Who's living in your body? The Holy Spirit. Living in your body. So He says, glorify God in your body. Why? Because God is living in you. And God doesn't want sin in the same body that He's living in. He says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What a great truth. You know, people, you see people, you see some churches, and they have an ashtray outside, you know, the church. And people put out the cigarettes because they're going to go into the house of God. Well, that's right. But you know what? If you're saved, guess what? This body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that one you shouldn't smoke in either. Wow. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. No wonder the Bible talks about salvation as a dramatic conversion. No wonder the Bible talks about salvation as a new birth, being born again. Notice, this is a dramatic thing, that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, would come to dwell in a person. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Verse 13. I guess we should read verse 12. Could read the whole chapter, but we can't. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, that's a great word, trust, because it's a synonym with believe. You see, believe isn't in the head merely. Belief is trusting yourself. In this case, trusting your soul and your sin completely to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It says, verse 13, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now notice, when does a person receive the Holy Spirit? What does it say? After what? Ye what? Believed. After ye believed. No, you don't get the Holy Spirit at infant baptism. The Bible says you get the Holy Spirit when you trust Jesus Christ, after you heard the gospel, after you acted on the gospel. When that takes place, the Bible says that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, it says, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now look at that verse again. Which is the earnest. How many know what the word earnest means? Oh, there's somebody who knows what earnest means. You know what? If you go buy a house, you put down earnest money, don't you? You know what the earnest is? It's the down payment. It's the down payment. Now think about this. Here's a wonderful thing. When you trust Christ, you get the first installment of all the riches of salvation in Jesus Christ. The first installment. You know what the first installment is? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's pretty big. First installment. And notice it says you're sealed. You're sealed. Boy, I'm glad that, when you do some canning, those lids got seals on them, don't they? You know what that seal is all about? That seal has to do with the fact that once you get saved, you are saved forever. You say, oh, that means I can live any way I want. Oh, really? Oh, really? Now, if your dad was a police chief, I tell you what, and he was a good one, you wouldn't live the way you want it, would you? You know what? Your friends would say, well, I don't know about going over there. Her dad's the police chief. We don't get away with anything. Right? What do you think about the Holy Spirit living in your body? Does that sound like living the way you want? Not at all. Okay? Now, let's turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Meet the Holy Spirit. There was a feast. And Jesus took the opportunity of the feast to use a physical situation to speak of a spiritual truth. In verse 37, the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And you know what? That's the problem today. Not many people are thirsting for God, are they? That's the problem today. But he says, if any man is thirsting to know God. Boy, I tell you what, most people are thirsting after everything but God. But he says, if any man thirsting for God, thirsting for salvation, thirsting for forgiveness of sins. Notice what he says. He says, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the... Are you there? John 8:39. The Spirit. Which they that believe on him should receive. Now, you help me. Fill in the blank. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, we could preach a whole message on this great picture that we have a holy God that demands righteousness and that every sin must be punished. And no man can come into his presence with any sin. He's a holy God. And in the foreknowledge of God, God the Father determined that God the Son would have to come to this earth and pay the penalty for man's sin. Because there was no one to pay the penalty. All had sinned. And God sent would determine in his foreknowledge that the Son would come and give a perfect sacrifice as deity for our sin. And he did. And the wrath of God was satisfied. By coming through Jesus Christ, a person can be saved. And God can forgive all of their sin. But Jesus rose from heaven. And now he sends the Holy Spirit to apply salvation that's been purchased to men. Isn't that wonderful? And he says, when he comes, he will be in you like a river of living water. Wow. Boy, there's talk about new life. You know what? You know, the world doesn't understand Christianity. You know, to the world, Christianity is, you mean you got to do that? You mean you can't do that? You mean you can't go there? You mean you got to do this? No. You got it all mixed up. You see, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit is in you a river of living water. There's a whole new life flowing out of you. And if you're not saved, you don't have that life. You don't have that river. You got to make it happen out of your own knuckles. But if you're saved, there's a living well right within you. Oh, wonderful thing. You mean it just keeps on flowing as long as you don't plug it up with sin. Just keeps on flowing. That's right. You don't plug it up with sin every day. The Word of God is precious. Every day, the Lord Jesus is wonderful. And just like the songwriter said, that he sweeter every day. Wow. This is real. Notice it says in Romans chapter 8, we'll look there. And believe it, this is just my first point. We're going to have to, won't be able to preach the rest of the sermon. You might be used to long-winded sermons, but our guests probably aren't. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness." You know, it's a well of living water. You know what? You don't have to go get some rock music to get your feelings drummed up. You don't have to go through some dance routine to get your spiritual feelings drummed up. You see, that's all make-believe religion. You know what the real thing is? The Spirit of God living in your heart. That's the real thing. And because we got so much false religion and drummed up religion, they got to substitute the thing. But this is a wonderful thing. Now, this is a real serious statement, though. It says, if the Spirit of God be not in you, he is none of his. Does it matter what church you belong to? Doesn't matter if you've been baptized 5,000 times. The crux of the issue is when a person truly repents of their sin and trusts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with the Father and the Son, and of the same essence as the Father and Son, comes to dwell within that person. But that person truly hasn't repented of their sin. If they truly haven't turned to Christ, if they just have religion, if they just have a little prayer that means nothing, and they do not have the Holy Spirit come at a very specific day that they trusted Christ, the Bible says he is none of his. That's what the Bible says. You know, people need to forget about all the stuff that religion is saying out there and go back to what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, living in you? I'm not talking about religious feeling. I'm not talking about some little sparkly little influence. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. That's the key. And that's the $1 million question. Now, I'm going to try to give you next point in just 1 minute real quickly. I'm sorry we aren't going to be able to go all the verses. But what does the Holy Spirit do in the life of a believer? As we've read, He dwells in the believer. He lives in the believer. God Himself lives in the life of the believer, and He influences every part of that person's life from that day on. How can it be otherwise? As He's a real person. I remember somebody got saved. And the husband said, "I don't like that new person in our house." "What do you mean?" "You know, that Jesus." They understood. There was something new, even in their elementary observation. The Holy Spirit. John 16, he says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. What does He do? He convinces men of sin. He makes them guilty of sin. He makes them sorry of sin. He impresses them with the reality that there are things that they are doing are wrong. You know, one time I went to this house, and this person said, "Pastor, you don't know, just your presence is convicting." Now, I didn't think that. I was just trying to be nice, you know. Because your presence, well, I'm just a wicked sinner. What do you think the presence of God in a person's heart is like? Huh? That's real. The Bible says He is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes to live within somebody, they immediately know something. Number one, they know that the Bible is the Word of God. They know it. How do they know it? Because the God who wrote it is now living in them. And now they can understand the Bible. Remember what it was like reading the Bible before you got saved? Ooh, man. It was like outer space. It was so beyond comprehension. But you know what? When the Spirit of God comes to live within you, He's the Spirit of truth. I understand what this is talking about. I understand this. There's understanding. He is a person who leads a person in the path of right. And notice, it says Romans 8:14. It says, when He, the Spirit of truth, but for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, it's like, you go to San Francisco or some city and you hire a guide. Now, some people are going to the Holy Land. You know, you'd like to think that you could go to the Bible lands and you could have your own tour. Don't think about it. You'll waste so much time doing nothing. Get a guide. They know exactly where the places are. They take you there, they take you there, they take you there, take there. No time lost. You know what? The Holy Spirit, when He comes into a person's life, He is there to lead them, to guide them in the path of obedience. It's like having a guide in life. You know, most people are just doing whatever comes to their mind because they don't know any better. But the Holy Spirit, He comes to lead people in the path of righteousness. Lord, I'm not so sure about this. Why? Well, yeah, because the Bible says such and such. The Holy Spirit, He makes us sensible to wrong. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You know, when the believer has a wrong attitude, the Holy Spirit tells them they got a bad attitude. A husband and wife, the husband might be winning the argument, but the Holy Spirit says, your attitude stinks. Now, he doesn't use that terminology. But he doesn't make them very happy in their victory. Makes them feel miserable. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit, he empowers the believer to do right. He gives them a whole new strength in life. But ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. We're going to have to close the message. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes into a person's life, there's a definite difference. There's a definite difference. And it's real. And it fits into the message of the Bible. If you got some Holy Spirit and it doesn't fit into what we just read, that's not the Holy Spirit of the Bible. That's some other stuff. That's a false spirit. But if you got the Holy Spirit living in you, you're not going to feel comfortable living in sin. You're not going to feel comfortable doing wrong. You're going to have a desire to do what's right. You're going to have a desire for spiritual things. You're going to understand the Bible. And the Bible's going to be real. And you want to obey the Bible. And you'll have the great comfort of the presence of God. One preacher said, with God, one is a majority. As we close the message today, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? Do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? Other than a title? Well, I hope you've learned a little bit about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit trying to influence your life? The Holy Spirit tries to show us that we're sinners. The Holy Spirit tries to show us that things that we thought were okay, socially acceptable sins, are sin. He tries to show us that we're lost and that we're on our way to hell because of our sin. The Holy Spirit makes us feel miserable about facing eternity without salvation. The Holy Spirit tries to bring us to be sorrowful for our sin and to turn us from sin. He tries to make us miserable about our life of departing from God. We need to obey Him. We need to say, God, you're right. I'm a sinner. I need you. The Holy Spirit, when we come to Christ, He comes to live within us. What a difference. Can you point to a day that you saw yourself as a sinner? And that really you were on your way to hell. And you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. That's the day. If you really repented, the Holy Spirit came into your life. And ever since then, He's been in you like a well of water of life. Giving you new desires, new thoughts. New direction, new assurance, new energy, new strength. He is the living Spirit of God. Perhaps you can say, you know, I can point to a day that I accepted Christ, and I know what a change it was. I didn't know what it was, but I know from the Bible it was the Spirit of God that came to live in me that changed my life. But you say, you know what? His power in my life is diminished greatly. And it's because I said no to God. I let things come into my life that I shouldn't have let come into my life. Maybe it was bitterness. Maybe it was unforgiveness. Maybe it was crookedness. Maybe it was dishonesty. Maybe it was a moral thing. And you know, I have never confessed that sin. And ever since then, I've been really in neutral. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit has been limited. He's there, but He's been limited by our sin. You see, the Holy Spirit is a real person. He is God Himself. And just think of what our life should be with God Himself living in us. So perhaps today, lastly, you could just say, you know what? I'm more thankful than ever before about this wonderful truth of the reality of the Spirit of God living within me. And I am so concerned today that we live in fellowship with God through His Holy Spirit, obeying Him, relying upon Him, conscious of His holiness, tender to His presence, doing what He wants, not what I want. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word today, and I thank You for the great truth about the Holy Spirit, the living God, who lives in the heart of the believer, just like the Bible says. We thank You that it's real. And now, Lord, work in those precious hearts, that, Lord, that would want Your precious Spirit to live in their life. Help them, Lord, even today, to turn as a sinner to Jesus Christ, the Savior, who will not only save them and forgive them of their sin, but will save them from the power of sin and give them a new life by sending the Spirit of God to live within them. Work in those precious hearts, Lord. I pray as our heads are...